I speak to you in the name of the God of the commandments. Amen. In 1848, Karl Barks famously wrote these words, "All fixed, fast frozen relations with their train of ancient and venerable prejudices and opinions are swept away. All new formed ones become antiquated before they can ossify. All that is solid melts into air. All that is holy is profaned. And man is at last compelled to face with sober senses his real condition of life and his relations with his kind." Those seemingly prophetic words come from the Communist Manifesto written in 1848, just as violent revolutions were convulsing Europe. The fact that these revolutions were ultimately suppressed and that true change and modernity awaited a new century does nothing to render them any less unnerving. At the same time that Charles Darwin was upending the human sense of themselves, these famous words of Karl Marx portended the melting away of all that seemed solid and fixed and right in the Western world. Certainties about social order, fixed poles of society, long-standing guides to morality and right living were all as if they were melting away. In 1611, John Donne, the author of our wonderful sequence hymn we just sang, expressed the sense of loss occasioned by advances in astronomy in his time. "The sun is lost and hearth, and no man's wit can well direct him where to look for it." Now, a century and a half after Karl Marx, this disheveled refugee publisher, philosopher, always one step ahead of the authorities, a century and a half after he published his indictment of the prevailing social order, you don't have to believe the vision offered there to appreciate the shockwave it produced all over Europe and eventually the world. All over, it seemed true that all that is solid is melting into air. Change was erupting, liberating, frightening, disorienting, relativizing, and sometimes catastrophic. At the time those words were written, the Christian church was largely aligned with all that was solid. It represented stability, coherence, truth, and an abiding sense of permanence with God. It is no exaggeration to say that most of the church would have sought to suppress the angry and convulsive words of Karl Marx. They had forgotten or ignored the urgency of their Lord Jesus rampaging through the temple, upending all things, bringing upheaval and change to his world. But even though there have been Christians who led rebellions, who pioneered change, who upended society, mostly for us, the Christian faith has represented a fixed point in a tumultuous world. And nothing better captures this permanence, this solidity, this order than the Ten Commandments. And we've been given them right here in the middle of Lent to ponder and confess and wonder where they are solid and where melting happens. Imagine, if you will, sitting down here in the front of the church, a group of catechumens. It's a fancy Greek word, means those who are learning. A group of catechumens. If we had done our evangelism, they would be here. Unbaptized persons, turning toward God on a journey toward the baptismal pool on the holy night of Easter. During this season of Lent, they would have listened intently to the sacred readings from Scripture. They have already lived through a flood. Remember on the first Sunday in Lent, we heard about Noah. They have lived through a flood. They have listened in on a promise to Abraham. And now they are bombarded with "you shall not, You shall not. And they may have begun to wonder what sort of people they have found. And perhaps they wonder what these commandments have to do with the promise of life toward which they are turning. If our imaginary catechumens followed the custom of the ancient church, they would leave this place, this assembly, right after the sermon to spend time with their sponsors studying the scriptures. As their journey continued toward Easter, they would hear an extended story of God's covenant, God's promise of love and grace. Two Sundays ago, they reflected on God's covenant with Noah and its sign, the rainbow. Last week, they discovered how fragile the covenant can seem. Next week, the catechumens will come face to face with the serpent and with the possibility of healing. In 2 weeks, they will hear the prophet's promise that God will implant his covenant within human hearts. And finally, in the great 3 days, the catechumens will be brought into the paschal mystery of God's new covenant of the death and resurrection of Jesus. With all these stories behind us and yet to come, what ought we say to these persons soon to be baptized who give us our reason for being the church? What can we say about the Ten Commandments that neither seems trivial nor feels rigid and oppressive? Karl Marx may have been a century ahead of his time, but we know that solid things are constantly melting into air. Not just change, but a profound sense of what is foundational seems up for grabs. So what do we say to the catechumens? I think I would say two things to these men and women longing for new birth. And why don't we all imagine ourselves in their place? Imagine yourself coming to be baptized. Unless I miss my guess, the catechumens have come to us as human beings who are turning to God with real human lives. And in terms of living, at least two perennial problems lurk in the background of the commandments. Speaking only for myself, I have lived most of my adult life hearing the echo of a pursed-lipped woman with pained eyes whining, "Find out what the baby is doing and stop him. Find out what the baby is doing and stop him." Religion as the enemy of life, the enemy of the flesh and the pleasures of the flesh. Religion as a foe to all love and delight. How many of us have reduced the good news out of Nazareth to a list of you shall not this, you shall not that. It's a miracle that the catechumens have made it past that echo in themselves and the repression escape pattern in themselves to turn toward God at all. Somehow we have to say to them that while there is nothing permissive about the Christian faith, there's nothing permissive about being a Christian, life within the commandments is joyful and rich and fulfilling. We are called to proclaim with our lives that the kingdom of God is dawning in all creation. We have an intimate relationship with God that requires us to judge every action on the basis of that relationship. We need to drown out that old echo with a new refrain. Go find the baby and find out what he's doing. Don't let him do everything he wants. Let him know that he will be okay if he lives with us within the framework of our family. The catechumens are turning to a God who is the source of all pleasure. He is fun and light and laughter, and we are meant to enjoy God. The catechumens allow us to do just that. The second thing, the other problem lurking behind the commandments, is one of safety. We frequently obey them, most of them, without much difficulty. Not from virtue, but from lack of energy to break them. Most of our imaginary catechumens have already managed to avoid murder, adultery, theft, and lying. They are not hardened criminals or degenerate persons. They are mostly ordinary human beings, turned around by God and called to a new covenant by God. Can we make the can we avoid the mistake of the well-intentioned but clumsy missionary who was hard at work trying to convert an elder of the community? Now, the elder was very old, and the missionary was very Old Testament. His vision of Christianity leaned heavily on "you shall not." The community elder listened patiently. "I don't understand," he said at last. "You tell me that I must not take my neighbor's wife." "That's right," replied the missionary. "Or his ivory or his oxen." "Quite right." "And I must not dance the war dance, then ambush him on the trail and kill him." "Absolutely right." "But I can't do those things anyway," said the elder regretfully. "I am old." "To be old and to be Christian, they are the same thing," said the elder. "Be old is to be Christian is to be old? Not a bit. To be Christian is to be reborn and free and unafraid and young." Karl Marx's words startled the world in 1848, and we are still living within the melting of all that is solid. When the commandments are condensed to stone tablets, they become solid things that will surely melt. Judge Roy Moore in Alabama fought to the bitter end to place stone copies of the Ten Commandments in the state courtroom in which he presided. They don't belong there. Let them melt away and be carried forward in the hearts and lives of those who believe. Well, I'm almost finished, and in a moment our imaginary catechumens will be dismissed to go with their sponsors to study the scriptures. Today they will think about commandments and what life is like in covenant with God. In a few short weeks, they will be reborn in their baptism. New, young, fresh Christians, will you help us delight in the commandments, which are neither repressive nor safe? Amen.